Oh, we're back. Oh, welcome to Morning Tea and Allegations. This is your host, Petty B, and I'm so excited to be with you guys in the new year. So definitely didn't expect to do this episode today. I was going to wait to come back in a couple of days because, you know, just readjusting new year. You know, my wife is now, you know, a state legislator and she's moving it and I'm just here to support her. Then we had a tragic family loss. And so there's just been things upon things upon things upon things that have been building up. And so that's why I have been absent during my Morning Tea and Allegation episodes. And I'm trying to reconfigure how I actually want to do it now in the new year, just to kind of like give you the backstory and so we can move forward. Like Morning Tea and Allegations, it actually started on my birthday, January 8th, a year ago. And it was centered around the shenanigans that were taking place with the superintendent search. And so fast forward today, we've had series of episodes, some good moments, some bad moments, some different wardrobes and costume changes. And just it's just really been a great season. And it got a lot of people activated in school board politics, which is all that I needed people to understand, is that you need to know the people that are making the policies and the decisions over your children. And you need to be intentional with our school board system because our kids are important. And a lot of the decisions that have been taking place, particularly in the districts that I cover, you know, we are not doing so well. We're not performing where we need to perform, and we need some conversations and we need some shifts to occur. So I just appreciate everyone that has been following the journey on Morning Tea and Allegations, where it first started on my platform, then I moved it over to Teaching for the Culture, and it's just been amazing. And there's some new effects. Oh my God, I love the background. Yes, you know, I had to get, you know, Rozak in the back, you know, because we talking about Hillsborough today. And I'm just glad to be here. I know that there's some educators that they're not on their lunch break. And so you'll catch this on the replay. So just again, thank y'all for tuning in. Thank y'all for just being supportive of the work with Teaching for the Culture. There's a couple of things that I need to set up. So I'm going to go ahead and roll my disclaimer. And I think that people have forgotten. They haven't heard my disclaimer in quite some time. So I'm just going to roll it for you so that you can actually understand what type of time it is and what time it is not. And that is on Mary Had a Little Lamb. Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I report the news, so don't try me with the copyright. In addition, the views and opinions on Morning Tea and Allegations belong to me. If you have any questions, bring your receipts so that we can talk. If you get froggy with me, don't expect me to go high and be the bigger person. I will clap back and sage later. God is still working on me. Thank you for your attention and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I hope that you listen to those disclaimers and you govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. So I have a new intro for this whole thing. And yeah, I hope that you enjoy it. I've played this back in June. I want to say it was the June 10th episode. I'm not really sure. I wasn't naming titles then. I was just putting the date because I was doing Morning Tea and Allegations like every single day because the shenanigans didn't stop. But I want to go ahead and introduce my new intro and I hope you enjoy it. So let's go. This is why we need an audit, because these books are not clean. People need to be held accountable and stop playing these political games, because our children deserve better at the end of the day. And we need people to be accountable, transparent, and operate in integrity. Lift your hands up in the church. Thank you, Lord. Because the truth out today. And now the district's exposed. Let me find. I was supposed to have my applause queued up. There we go. I got a lot of comments. Love, yes. I'm in here shouting, amen, amen. Look, I thank y'all. Okay. If you've been following this journey, you know that I've been spending a lot of time doing some research, pulling receipts, which is the whole people lie, receipts don't movement. And I have been warning the district about the misallocation. I've been warning the district of the foolishness that has been happening for years. And now we're at this vital point where the spotlight is here. COVID has put a spotlight on the pre-existing issue. It's put a spotlight on a lot of problems that have been taking place in the school district. And why I focus so much in Hillsborough is because I worked in this district. But then when I was advocating and I was speaking out, and there were educators that were joining along with me because they knew that there were things that were going on, they went and tried to retaliate and do the exact same thing that the district did to me. And at some point, enough is enough. And so this is why Morning Teen allegations came into fruition, to hold elected leaders and to hold people accountable. And so I'm glad that the title of today's episode is Who Are We Holding Accountable? Because I have a lot of things to talk about. And the main question that we have today is, who are we holding accountable? Amen. Amen. Okay. A couple of church announcements, housekeeping things. Amen. I have some amazing things, right? There's a Patreon that you can get involved in. I was supposed to shoot a commercial for that, but listen, there was a lot of things that have been going on in this season. And so just trying to do the best that we can to, you know, move through that. Right. I will say this, that please get onto Patreon. Patreon is a way where I'm communicating directly with people. There's whistleblowers and surveillance cameras that are also a part of my Patreon. And so it's a really good time. So just thank y'all for the patrons that are in there that support. You can definitely easily do that. I'll put the link so that you guys can support. Yeah, there we go. I'm getting my stuff back together, y'all. Another church announcement is that SEC, the Sunshine Education Coalition, which is something that I'm a part of as well. The founders and the co-founders are April Cobb and Denise Thomas, and they are a part of Teaching for the Culture. But they founded the Sunshine Education Coalition, and they have an amazing slew of events that is scheduled for February. I will post a link in the comments so that you can be involved. And I will talk about the organization a little later in this broadcast, because it's really important that you guys are intentional with the movement work that is being done. So you can't say that there's nothing being done. We just need more hands on deck, and we need people to understand and listen that this is a serious problem. And I'm going to show you the receipts to show you why. So with that being stated, thank y'all, for that. There are also stars on Facebook where, we actually get one penny per star. So it's something that's optional. Making it rain with stars is pretty cool too, if you want to do that. So yeah, just giving you different options on supporting this work is something that is very labor intensive and something that I do from the heart and the organization does from the heart. Now, I want to go ahead and get started. I'm going to share with you this article that talks about, you know, what we always talk about, the budget. This was from the Tampa Bay Times, and it's an editorial about our budget gap. I will tell you this, I have been warning the district about the misallocation of spending for a while now. And there are several people that have also been warning the district on how they played this shell game when it comes to money. There have been so many reports and external things that have taken place behind the scenes that many people don't know unless they go, you know, request the receipts or go read these consent agendas and actually read, you know, what they're publishing on the internet. A lot of this stuff is public record, folks. So it's not anything that they're trying to hide from you. You just need to be intentional to go find it. Now, with this budget, we're at a point where we're reaching bankruptcy if we don't figure out how to figure this out, which is why the district was trying to have, you know, marketing materials to say, hey, you know, school is a safe choice, not taking, you know, the facts of there's 22 kids in one classroom and there's schools that are being called every single day because they have cases of COVID. But regardless of all of that, this article here, I definitely want you to read it and take note of it. But, you know, the editorial, they, you know, made their statements about this budget. This has been a long saga with the budget, the money. And again, I posted a meme yesterday with Bernie Sanders, and I was like, this is me watching the school board explain this budget crisis. Like, we've been here, and it's just so interesting how we're now want to keep saying it's COVID, or we want to keep saying it's the previous administration. No, no, no. So again, the main question here is, who are we holding accountable? So there was another article that talked about this in a more transparent way, I believe, and it's interesting because it's Fox News. But my man, Aaron, he's a reporter. I've talked to him several times. I appreciate and respect his work, and I do appreciate this headline. The headline is, Hillsborough County Schools could be out of money by the end of June, superintendent says. Now, typically, these punch headlines don't really come up because Hillsborough County likes to clean up their media mess, which I've already explained that several times with different examples. For example, one of the people tried to tell me that, you know, what I said in the Creative Loafing article was incorrect, and I had to go back and tell sis that no, what I said was correct. Here's the receipts. And what you're not going to do is you're not going to say that I'm lying. That's what you're not going to do. So it's things that happen in this district. So I really appreciate Aaron for this headline, but this is a real thing. This is a real fear, and this impacts real people. To the point where you actually had educators to come speak out during public comment to express their disappointment that they had to watch their name being drawn out of a hat to determine if they have a job or not. Like, these are real things that's happening in this district. And so, again, there's a lot of great things that's happening, but there's some ones that have some really damaging impact. So the question for the budget is, who are we going to hold accountable? So I have laid this out several times. I'm not going to rehash it, but again, they're the archive folks. If you go search my page, search Morning Tea and Allegations, you'll see a slew of episodes where I'm talking about the same thing, different topics about school districts in the Tampa Bay area. Okay. I've talked about the budget, and I've talked about how these agenda items that they don't line up, and how it's just so interesting how the board decides that they want to approve all of these items without asking questions, without double checking with Fidelity. And there has just been approve, 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 approve. And there's been no questions about the finances out in the public. And then now all of a sudden there's a hoopla, and then you have people that are saying, oh, well, we should work together on this, and we shouldn't point fingers. No, no, no. We're going to point fingers because someone needs to be held accountable, because we've been here before. And so at the end of the day, these decisions that these people make impact our children and impact our educators and our support staff that are working on the front lines every single day to ensure that our children are safe. So we're going to point fingers. So again, I go back to the finance committee of Hillsborough County Public Schools, their board. Okay. Their board had a finance committee. The finance committee consisted of Tamara Schamberger, Steve Kona III, and Melissa Snively. These three individuals were serving on the finance committee as our reserves were dwindling. What conversations were they having? Where are the notes from the financial committee meeting where they had with Gretchen, the CFO? Better yet, who is the new CFO in Hillsborough County Public Schools? Do we know? Because the last that I heard, Gretchen got a job in St. John's County. Now, I don't know. Did anyone see any job postings? Did we have, you know, any announcements on the board agenda? Because I haven't personally seen it. So if you have that information, I would love, please come in my inbox. Let me know. Let me log in here, get my receipts. I just want to know, who's the new CFO?
Bruh.
Right. So still waiting on that. And then you have where this company that decided that they wanted to do a financial review of the district. This is the same organization that was given Addison Davis an award. Now, I was very clear of what we needed. I said months ago that we need a financial audit from someone that is completely separate and apart from the school district, where there's no ties, and that they can literally look at this without any type of external forces influencing their job. I've made that very clear. So the organization that wanted to give Addison Davis an award should not be the organization that's auditing the books that said the exact same thing that Addison Davis said. Well, the problem with that is that, you know, there was an issue with the budget before he came in. So I'm not sure if there wasn't any conversations about that, what happened. So that's why I said, who do we hold accountable? So I'm thinking that we have, you know, Jeff Akins, we go ahead and just get him a ticket and fly him back on to Florida. I say we go ahead and we get Addison Davis at the table. We go ahead and make sure Gretchen Saunders comes back from St. John's County and comes to Hillsborough, and we sit with the finance committee, and all of these individuals can have a conversation in the sunshine about what happened to the money and why. Because all of these do-do-do-do-do and these redirections is just not working. It's not working. And then you want to then impose another tax on the citizens of Hillsborough County due to your mismanagement? Y'all better get these folks and hold these people accountable. Look, I can only do so much, and I can only say so much. I've been saying this for a minute about this budget. So I just think that we just need to bring all of them to the table, let them sit in front of the church congregation with the lights on and with the cameras on, so that we can have a conversation about this money, because it's not adding up, and it didn't add up to Fitch back in April. Right. Okay. Let's keep going. So incidents that are happening on school campuses. Okay. So Fight Pages, I've shown it, exposed it on the Underground. If you haven't seen that series, please go to Teaching for the Culture and go to shows. You'll see the Underground series there, along with a bunch of other programming that we're doing. So thank God for that. Then you had non-credible threats that were submitted to different schools. And a lot of that has been stemmed through social media. Social media has been pretty much responsible for a lot of these issues, especially with these Fight Pages that are coming out, where the kids are more likely to record the videos that they can post it up for likes and views. So I just hope that people understand that, like, this is a real thing. It has real consequences. And so we need to really assess the cell phones, and is it something that is helpful or harmful for our children, and weigh the pros and cons. Because the way that I'm looking at it, I see that there's more cons than pros. So, Brandon High School. So Brandon High School, the kids decided that they want to bring fireworks to school and pretty much inflict harm and terror on the entire campus. Now I go back to you parents, for the life of me, I don't understand how you allow your child to have all of these different communications on their cell phone. You have no idea who your children are talking to. But then I also don't get how you don't know what they're bringing to your house, and you're not checking what they have in their backpack. Parents, at the end of the day, you are responsible for your child. Your child is out here buying fireworks. Your children have Cash App. How your children are eligible for a Cash App is beyond me. There's so many questions that I have, but to the root of this, you are accountable. So who do we hold accountable? Parents, I'm holding you accountable for making sure that you check the cell phone to ensure that your children are having appropriate conversations online. And I'm so thankful, because there's a program that's launching on Black History Month, okay, starts in February, where we actually do a breakdown of all the different apps and games that your kids are into and what things to, you know, things to look out for, how to make sure that the settings are the best to protect them, and conversations that you need to have surrounding those particular apps. Mm-hmm. When we say solutions, we bring in solutions. And again, we're creating a table here. So there would be no excuse for you not to know about the damaging effects of Fortnite and how you have your kids playing Fortnite till 10, 11 o'clock. And they're having Fortnite rages where they have a lack of impulse control and they want to throw monitors and throw temper tantrums because you're telling them and limiting them from playing a game. If we're not thinking about this and we're not thinking about the impact, you're sadly mistaken. And this is why we're at where we're at. Parents, again, who we hold responsible? You. Because you need to check the phone and the backpacks. Now, another issue that came up, I posted about it the other day, is about a school that I want to show a video of something that I highlighted last year. And I said, okay, so do y'all really think that these issues are going to go away when we have COVID? Okay.
On school campus, caught on camera, 10 students arrested from Leonard High School this year because of that fighting. And all new at 5, we're learning fights are the top problem at that school. ABC Action News reporter Nicole Gregg has been digging into state records and found out the problem is actually growing.
One parent tells me the district is not taking this serious enough. The sheriff's office has stepped up patrols for today and tomorrow. One video shows girls ripping out another girl's braids while she's down on the ground. The public videos posted to a page dedicated to Leonard High School fights. We're blurring faces because they're juveniles. You can see here multiple fights at the same time.
Glorifying it, and they're glorifying it because, again, not enough is being done.
Parents tell us they've had enough.
I think silence and absence of action is just condoning that. You're telling these children that it's okay as long as I don't see it.
ABC Action News looked into fights at Leonard. We found state records show in 2017 and 2018, there were 48 fights. Last year, that number went up to 61. That's a fight every 3 days on average.
Weave pulling, hair scratching, fighting on the ground, bam, bam, bam.
This senior tells us she's seen the fights her whole 4 years.
If you keep your head down and don't say anything, it's fine.
We also found out of all the reported incidents to the state, fighting is the top problem. That beats out bullying, drug use, and tobacco.
As parents, we send them here for an education, and they're fighting.
The school district says the 10 arrested is a small amount compared to the 3,300 kids who attend the school. They also say they don't tolerate fights on campus. We asked the school district what type of actions they are taking against these students. However, they say that they cannot tell us what type of discipline they hand out. Reporting in Hillsborough County, Nicole Gregg, ABC Action News.
Okay, that was in 2019. Okay. Those issues are still continuing. It's actually escalated. There's more pages that are created. I've blown the whistle on this and I'm blowing the whistle again. My solution to the district is to have a social media task force to really dive deep into social media and to flag some of these things that come up so that we can resolve these issues before it becomes a bigger issue. These fights are becoming a norm and it's all over the district and several school districts in the Tampa Bay area. But this particular school has been in the media so many times. And I'm not sure when the last administrative change has happened or what, but there's an issue that's happening now. And I wanted to talk about it. And I spoke with the victim's mom about this particular subject. She has given me consent to share our conversation and to share what is happening. And so this was something that I posted on social media the other day. I had redacted her name and her picture because in situations like this, I exercise caution just due to the situation and the circumstance. It was publicly posted on Facebook. And so it is up there. But again, I take that extra step to be very cautious. I'm not going to share what I've already posted. It's already up there. But I will share what she shared on her personal Facebook page. Again, I'm redacting her name and her photo because, again, this is a very sensitive issue, and I just want to be very mindful and intentional about that. So this is what she shared, and she said that there's a male teacher, and she names her daughter, which I redacted. And basically, this educator has been having private messages with her daughter and has taken her daughter off campus a couple of times alone. And they actually went to a subdivision that was behind the school. He would take her lunch, would make remarks about her body, would call her princess, groom her, essentially. She placed an investigation with the school. He was placed on a leave of absence during that time. She was contacted by the school and was made aware that he was returning back to campus. And so she needed advice on what to do next because she was not okay with it. It was shared in the Ruskin group. I'm actually not a member of that Ruskin group, but there were several people in the community that sent me screenshots of her post. When that post went up and when I saw it, I just want to be transparent to tell you my immediate actions that I saw. So I was able to identify the alleged educator. I called and reported this. And as a mandatory reporter, I gave them all the information that I had online. I also then posted the message and then redacted her picture and information so that more people were aware of the situation. As always, okay, the floodgates of messages started to appear. And there were some folks from the school that worked at Leonard. There were schools, there were people that reached out to me that actually worked at Rozac. And there were other people that wanted to provide their opinion or and or experience. Let's just say that that has just opened an investigation for Teaching for the Culture. And so we are demanding some receipts. So I want to tell you about that and kind of what's going on and how you can help. So Teaching for the Culture has requested his personnel file. We contacted the district yesterday. It has went to the HR department. We are still waiting for his information to be sent to us. We requested any and all investigations that have been done on this educator. The reason why we asked this was because there was an allegation that this particular situation was attempted to be covered up. They did not do a full investigation. They kind of brushed this off as, you know, a minor incident when this is actually something very major for the child and very major for the parents. So we are still waiting on his personnel file. And again, you know, they are trying to, from what I've gathered, covered it up. So I did end up reaching out to Amy. And again, I did not want to publish all the receipts of our communication that would require me to redacting her picture and her information. So I just have my phone here and she's given me consent to kind of give you more details of what happened that was not communicated on her post. So I had asked her, I said, when did you bring this issue to the administrator's attention? And do you recall their response? She tells me that the end of November and December 1, her first AP told her child to text us that she is allowed to leave campus with driver's ed, but didn't address our other concerns. We had an official sit down with a new AP January 7th and January 8th. So there has been administrative transitions that have been taking place at that school during this time. So just to keep you updated on that. So I asked her during the January 7th and 8th sit down, what action did the AP say they would do? she says. Then they asked for our statements to bring the concern to the district for an investigation. During the conversation, he didn't deny anything. He admitted it, and he actually told on himself more. He told us things we didn't know yet. And what she's referring to is the educator that is alleged in this situation, the driver's ed teacher. Sunday, they got our statements. Monday morning, they escorted him off for the investigation. No contact with the school or responses at all for a week. Then a call late afternoon yesterday to say, I know your daughter doesn't feel safe and neither do you. Wanted to let you know he is returning to campus tomorrow, meaning today we can be there to help assist transferring your child elsewhere. And I respond to her, wow, absolutely not. Because what you're not going to do is you're not going to move the victim while you're allowing him to still be on that campus with these allegations. And from what the mom is saying that he admitted to, and he admitted to some additional things that they didn't even know. Amy says, I spent all day, over 30 calls with everyone in the district, HCSO, Chad Cronister, Title IX, sex discrimination, and tomorrow we are filing a restraining order. I also went to the school board today. Then I said to Amy, I said, do you have any screenshots of his communication with your daughter? I can't believe that they wanted to transfer your child when she is the victim. She responds, and they told us that they would give us copies of the policies that we requested that he clearly broke, but never did. The principal said she'd given him to us, but it will show today as an effective date. I said, no, I want the ones effective during the time period. She said, no. The cops have her phone to do all the IT stuff to find the deleted stuff. I respond to her and I say, this is an entire nightmare. I'm so sorry you and your daughter are going through this. When you went to the school board today, did they give you the runaround? She responds, absolutely. Every phone call turned into another. Over 25 calls. Finally, just showed up and someone listened and said that they would have the area superintendent call us. And then I respond to her and I said, do you feel like the school is protecting? And then I put the teacher's name. And she says, I think they have to align more on his side because he's their employee. But I think it's hard for them to protect the proof we have and his own admissions. I feel like he has more protection than my daughter at this point, honestly. And I just want to sit there in this moment to just say the real fear that parents have where they send their child to school thinking that they would be in a safe space. And then their child is violated and then they have nothing. They have no protections. So it feels. And they don't know how to navigate this system to demand accountability. So I go back to, who are we holding accountable? Let's continue. I said to her, we will hold him accountable, which is what we're doing right now. Thank you so much for providing additional information. Do you give me consent to discuss our conversation during my show? She says, yes, I'm okay with that. The more people to know, the better. And I think this shows the lack of rights parents truly have. And you don't know until you're stuck navigating it all. I said, absolutely. I talk about this often with my programming. Parents have a difficult time navigating the system. Part of the problem in Hillsborough is the infrastructure. She says, is there a place I can listen or share as well? And I said, I'll send you the link when I created it. So I sent her the link and she shared it. Currently right now, she's getting a restraining order and is literally doing this right now. I've been communicating with her very frequently. This morning, she tells me that her daughter is staying home and that her daughter is distraught because she feels as though she's being punished And so, again, she was reminding me that she was going to file a restraining order. And so she messaged me at 10:03 a.m. And she said, the district called me just now, said all communication moving forward will come directly from the principal. And she will have to call me at some point. So basically, I feel is that it's leaving me have and may be annoyed that I have called every person of every department. And I say, well, if the principal handled this correctly, there wouldn't be a need for more people involved. And then Amy tells me that this is the same principal that told her to contact the district because it's out of her hands. And then I shared with her that this particular educator is actually soliciting funds on PayPal because they want to create a community center and daycare. So, who are we holding accountable? So we're going to hold the administration of this school accountable. Why? Because, you know, your staff members. Hello. Your staff members told me that they filed a complaint and told y'all that the driver ed vehicles were being moved back in December. The employees told you at your school administration that these cars have been moving unauthorized, that they have been taken off campus. They told y'all that the first week in December. Mm-hmm. So I just want to know, at Leonard High School, the administrators, y'all can come forward to the front of the congregation, because your staff members told me that they told you about these driver ed vehicles being moved back in December. So I'm holding you directly accountable, because had y'all made action on what was being told of you back in December, we probably wouldn't be dealing with half the situation that we're dealing with now, because the allegation is that this particular educator took the driver ed vehicles off campus. The same allegation and the same thing that the employees told you back in December. This is all happening at the same time. This is not no coincidence. This is what happened. Now, these surveillance cameras at the school didn't know the intricate details about this particular victim and this child, but they did have concerns about where this person came from. And I was able to see his entire internet profile. Now, this particular educator worked at AMI Kids, so I'm going to be reaching out to them to figure out why he no longer works there, because that might have something to do with it, while the police is going through these phone records to get that information, which that could take some time. But accountability matters, because this educator is at the school with children. Now, again, I just want to know what's going on here, because if y'all follow me on my Facebook page, y'all know that I've been following these driver ed vehicles and these police cars around for some time now. And remember when I told y'all and I took a picture? Well, I didn't take the picture. The picture was sent to me. I posted a picture of a driver's ed vehicle that was at Zaxby's with a bunch of people inside after school hours. So where's professional standards? The question on the floor, where's professional standards? I'm glad that you asked, because I went and I made a public records request to request his investigation file, because the allegation is that they tried to cover this up and they didn't really want to look into this. They wanted to keep it hush, hush, quiet, quiet. And there was no full investigation done. So now I'm requesting the receipts. I want to know about this investigation file, because this particular person who was alleged of putting his hand on that 15-year-old's thigh and taking her off campus and all of this stuff happening. Meanwhile, there's real receipts out here. They're communicating and everything else. So who are we holding accountable? So Addison Davis, y'all, look, school board members, first of all, y'all need to hold that school accountable. Y'all need to hold the school accountable because they always been in the news. They was in the news in 2017 because the English teacher decided that she wanted to have sex with the kids at the school. I don't know what's going on. So we need some accountability. And so the question on the floor is, how do you request public records? I'm glad that you asked. I can actually walk you through that right now, actually, so that people can be informed on how to do it, because anyone could do it. And you can request what you want, because at the end of the day, this is not a private entity. So, you know. All right. So let me go ahead and share my screen so you can see it. Okay. So this is the website that you go to. I will put this in the comment so that you can go to it. Okay. The public records here, you will put your information here. Please be mindful that if you are submitting a public records request, that information is public. And so just be cautious of any addresses or any information that you use that you might not want to have public. So maybe if you have a PO box and you want to use that instead of your actual address, stuff like that. Okay. Just to give you a heads up. And then this is where you put what exactly that you're requesting and you send it off. Okay. It's right there. It's easy. Anyone can do it. And again, they have to do it. They have a contact number if you have any questions. And that is 813-272-4060. I will also link that in a comment so that you can give them a call. And so they are getting paid to help you walk through this, making sure that they support you. So if you have any questions, reach out to them because that's their job. Mm-hmm. Okay. So hopefully I answered that. So I'm requesting these records because I want to know about the OPS file, if it was really done, because if it wasn't, then this family just needs to go ahead and just sue the school district because they didn't even handle this with care. They didn't even follow the procedures to make sure that their child is safe. And from my understanding, that they still have this child on that man roster. So, you know, it's just very interesting to me about this particular situation, how there was warnings before destruction. So your employees told you about these driver ed vehicles and they told y'all back in the beginning of December. And now we have an issue where this is a real thing taking place and impacting families, and we're here. But let's not forget about Coach Reggie, because this is the same type of issue that I want to prevent. Okay. So if y'all don't remember, back in the summer, we talked about Coach Reggie. Okay. And let me go ahead and put this up on the screen so that you can see it. Okay. So Coach Reggie, okay, he was alleged to have, you know, inappropriate contact with a child back in 2009. Back in 2009, and he got caught up in 2020. You know how many years he worked in the school district? You know how many years he worked? The first report was in 2009. Someone else came up in 2016. He was working in this district that entire time. So you mean to tell me that there was nobody that came forward at the school? There was nobody that went through and made sure that, you know, these people are protected all of these years? All of these years? So it was posted in the Facebook group for the sheriff's department, the local sheriff's department. So let me go ahead and share that with you here. So in this particular situation, you had more people. Oh, hold on. Before I share that, I got to close out my Facebook messages. Y'all don't be sending me no messages while I'm on live. I ain't trying to get y'all caught up. Okay. There we go. Okay. So this is from Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. They were talking about this, and he was arrested this summer in 2020. Okay. All them years that he was working in Hillsborough County Public Schools, all those years. So in the comments, like this one person said, graduated there in 2007. You could tell something wasn't right with this dude. Always flirting with the girls and acting like he was a senior in high school with the I don't care attitude. Never did anything, but his actions always put a different picture. These are the comments on his public Facebook page about this educator that was inflicting harm on our young queens and was working at the school. Okay. So this is why I say we need some accountability, and this is how you can help Amy. You can help Amy by praying for her and her daughter, because she feels as though she's being punished by having to relocate to a different school. Now, district, I don't know what the policy is as to the reasoning behind this educator still working in your establishment. And this is why I need y'all to explain that to the people. We need to know if a mother comes in and has proof and evidence that there's a teacher that has been having inappropriate contact with her child, although it doesn't raise to the level of criminal activity, according to the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, which I do believe taking a minor off campus as your capacity as an educator could be a crime. But okay, y'all the professionals here. So y'all have this situation where this parent has came forward with receipts. She's came forward with this information. And y'all are like, well, you're telling her, you know, I know you don't feel safe, but he has to come back. You know, then the principal is telling her that it's out of my hands. You need to go to the district. She goes to the district. The district says you need to go to the principal, and she doesn't even know what to do. So she's currently following a restraining order, as I previously mentioned to you, and she needs help. She needs to know what to do and where to turn. Now, the comment here was due process. And you know what? Everyone deserves due process. And there's a procedure that needs to be in place. My question, and I want to know the policy on how do we deal with these particular allegations? Because although that we need to give educators a due process, if there is a serious thing and a serious allegation of something that was happening that's inappropriate to a child, that should not open the door to allow you to be back in school. So that's why I have questions. That's why I ask for the receipts. I want to see the personnel file, because from what I'm hearing is that there wasn't a full-blown investigation, and had the administration staff at the school did what they were supposed to do back in December, we probably would have nipped this in the bud, because the people told you that the driver's ed vehicles were being moved and were being driven. So those are some questions that I have on that. And I'm praying for the family and hope that they get justice. But some immediate actions, the administrative staff needs to be held accountable. Because first of all, these people told you about these driver ed vehicles. Y'all did nothing about it. And probably had you did something about it, it probably wouldn't have been here. But then also, from my understanding, you know, he hasn't worked at the school long. So it's just very interesting. So again, you know, she's going through the process. She's going to keep me updated. And yeah, great question. Due process. What does the student get? Trauma. At the end of the day, trauma. So while the educator gets this due process, you have a child who doesn't feel safe. And because we don't have the resources that we need, they are harmed even worse. But yeah. So this is why laws are important. This is why policy is important, and being involved in that, because you can change policy. If there's a policy that you disagree with, then this is why you need to be close with your school board members and having a connection with school board members to, hey, this is a policy that you probably need to review and edit and have people rally and support and get that change and get that modified. This is how democracy should look like. Unfortunately, we've had people that have not been intentional with education. And this is why you have, you know, new employees that are getting paid just about the 10-year employee working in education. It's just awful, but it is where we're at. So we need you. And so getting involved. So that's our next topic. Getting involved. There's so many community partners that Teaching for the Culture is involved with that you can support. You can go to their website. You can contribute to their work. And basically, I just have a listing of people that are doing great work. If you want to be a part of that, please reach out to me and I will definitely make sure that I get you a part of it. But there are some amazing things that are happening in the Tampa Bay area to do movement work for our children. And so just be intentional and tap into that because it's really, really important. I just want to go ahead and share some of the community partners and share the website with you. So at least you know where to find it and how to get access to it and just highlight a couple of people that are on here that are doing some phenomenal work because I do believe in uplifting folks. So Tavis is doing amazing work with his organization. Please connect with him. You have Ms. Duffy, who just won an award. She's one of the finalists for the Ida D. Baker Award. So Teaching for the Culture Squad, we rooting for you and proud of you. We have L'Oreal, who's in St. Pete, who is advocating for childhood literacy. Like, I can go on and on with these phenomenal people that are doing movement work. And again, if you want to be on here, reach out to me and let's get connected. I want to know what you do and what impact you do with the community. But there's a lot of people out here that understand and recognize the issues in our education system and are willing to roll up their sleeves and do the work instead of always talking and pointing fingers. And if we're going to point fingers, we need to make sure that we're holding the right folks accountable. So again, I go back to the budget situation. If you want to hold folks accountable, start with the finance committee and work your way down. And again, my solution is to get all these people at the table so that we can have a discussion out in the sunshine so that they can explain how certain employees got raises. Oops, did I say that? Okay. Also, then let's look at, you know, the inequities that are taking place because, you know, we have the budget crisis, but then like, what is that outputting? Well, I'm going to show you what it output. So this was, from a live broadcast that the Hillsborough County Public Schools were doing about the budget, and they were having a workshop and they were having the comparison of the number of employees that they have. I want you to take a look on your far right hand side where it highlights the number of D and F schools. And why I want to highlight this is because Miami-Dade is the largest district in Florida and it only has 3 D and F schools. That means Hillsborough County has over 9 times the amount of D and F schools than the largest district in the state. Let me say that again. That means Hillsborough County Public Schools has over 9 times the amount of D and F schools than the largest district in the state. This is also the same district that leads the school to prison pipeline. So we have the most students that are arrested in the state. Hillsborough County leads the state in their school to prison pipeline. So this is important. This matters, and people need to be intentional about the greater picture here. You have children that do not feel safe in school, and then we have educators that either are protected by policy or by laws, and accountability needs to be placed accordingly, especially with these serious allegations. We need accountability with the budget and what the district is spending their money on, and we can tell that it's not for our kids when the largest school district only has 3 DNF schools, and we have 9 times that amount. So what are we doing wrong? And what can we do to make it better? We also have solutions out here and organizations that are out on the front lines that do not get the recognition that they deserve, because we as a culture celebrate entertainment more than innovators. We value entertainment more than creatives that are trying to change the world and make the world a better place. Social media has fueled a way where we are easily distracted, and a lot of us are distracted on our goals and our life missions. And just as you are distracted, just imagine our children that are easily impressionable, where their minds have not fully developed, and they are very naive and are easily fooled and manipulated. Solutions. So I want to share with you what's happening in February so that you are aware. I told you I was going to talk about the Sunshine Education Coalition. I'm back talking about that again. If you go to their website and you go to the 28 Days and the Black Youth Experience, you can actually submit this information. All they're asking is for your first name, your email address, and if you are a parent, teacher, community leader, school leader, or other, you will submit that information. They will be reaching out to you to give you the necessary information so that you can view the content that they have for each one of these weeks here that they've dedicated for you. So I just want to just highlight this because there's people on the ground that's working to dismantle some of these systemic issues that's happening. And again, I say, please be intentional. Please be intentional and hold folks accountable. This is what this is all about. So while they give Amy the runaround, she has been very transparent on her social media page about what's happening with her child. And I hope people understand and realize that, like, this is a real thing. And like, what if it was your child? How would you feel? And what would you want to happen? And then also thinking about the child and what they're experiencing. So I just don't want this situation to turn out like another one of the Coach Reggie situations where this is an allegation that comes up and the district does nothing about the situation until years later when it comes to a point of no return. And now we have all these headlines of things that he was doing well back before. I just don't want that to be another situation. So this is why I'm talking about it. And yeah. Please pray for that family and pray that they get justice and holding these folks accountable. But again, I'm looking at the school because these educators did come forward and tell you about the driver ed vehicle. So the fact that you did nothing and you said nothing, you are directly responsible for this just due to that fact. You should have did something and addressed it. And we probably wouldn't be in this pickle, but I don't know why this thing is blurry. I'm still working on this stuff. But anywho, I'm done with my episode today. I really hope that you have a great day. Again, the title is Who Are We Holding Accountable? And while we're talking about holding all these people accountable, I also challenge you to hold yourself accountable, myself included. Please be accountable for your actions and inactions, what you say, what you don't say, what you do and what you don't do. Okay, it's very important that we self-reflect on that because we are modeling the behaviors for our kids. Our kids are watching the behavior that we do. So at the end of the day, we have these different generational gaps, especially when it comes to technology and the cyber world that we're moving to. I'm very scared of the damaging impacts that it will have with the increased amount of suicide and with the increased rates of suicide and the feelings that our children foster due to just social media and what has become. I'm really scared for our kids. So please have conversations with them. Please tap in and join Teaching for the Culture as we discover these apps and games so that you can have intentional conversations with your kids about them and how to move forward. With that, I'm closing you with that. And I love y'all. Y'all have a great day. And thank y'all for supporting me. And until next time.
Please keep my name about your mouth. And mind your business. Mind your business.
come down.